when he first started to come with his wife here, and I can remember somewhat angry and frustrated man who would come, and he would come because of his wife, but he was not interested. And I remember those days, and I remember over the years watching him soften and watching the Lord work in his heart, and can remember throughout the years a friendship that we've had that has grown. And you know, I'm just really excited and happy to see what the Lord has done with our brother. You know, when he was called to the ministry, you know, it was something that we'd been anticipating. And I had felt strongly that the Lord had been preparing him for years. And so I'm grateful to be able to call Jose not only my brother in Christ, but my brother in the ministry. And I'm excited tonight for the message he's going to bring. He said he hasn't been feeling well, so we need to lift him up in prayer and ask the Lord to lead him in the message that he's put upon his heart. So I'll give you our brother and priest, Jose Galvan.
Thank you, brother, for those kind words. And, you know, I appreciate it. I appreciate those words. You know, it's good to be lift up in a time of need. And, you know, we always have the need. And our lives are not easy. We always have something going on, and you know, the news, what happened this morning. I don't know these brothers, but I will hope and pray that God will bring comfort in their times of need. And you know, it's a blessing that we have a father that we can come. And that's that we need to acknowledge him in all our ways. That's what God's words said, that we need to acknowledge him in all our ways, and everything we do, we need to acknowledge him. And that is a blessing for us. And in time that needs, who do you go? You know, who do you cry but the Lord? You know, we all go through tight spots in life, and I hope and pray that, you know, that God will work in these brothers and sisters today, and that we may be able to handle the hand of fellowship to them if they are in need. I'm pretty excited to be here. You know, like Brother Adam says, this is a really opportunity for me to stand before you, especially the when English is my second language. This is such a blessing that I am able to stand before you and able to speak to you. You know, God works in different ways, and I believe that he have kept me in his hand from the beginning, from the time that I leave home. At the age of 14 years, I think I was turning 14, so I was 13. And I don't know how that happened. My parents let me go, and I was pretty excited to take an adventure, to have an adventure at that age. And I thank the Lord for keeping me in his care until now, that I, if it wasn't for him, I would not be here today, because there's so much stuff that I went through. But what happened in the past, it stays in the past. You know, don't turn back. It stays in the past. There's nothing you can do. Just look forward for what the Lord has for you. Just look forward and move on. My sermon today, Brother Adam saw my note here, my folder. It says Jose's new sermon. So I always keep this folder just to try to be organized, because I'm not an organized person. And you know, and I don't know if this happened to my brothers in the ministry, that I write down everything, and I want to make sure that everything is going to go okay, but at the end, it doesn't come the way I thought. The Lord direct us in a different ways when we stand up here behind this podium. But I'd like to thank you, to each of you, for taking your time to be here and to hear what the Lord has to say tonight. And I'd like to welcome to those who are in live streaming. Did I look good there? Thank you. You know, my sermon today is about how God leads us in the right path. This song that we just sing in 237, crown him with many crowns. And the second, I don't know what you call this, but it says, crown him the Lord of love, and behold his hand and side. Rich wounds yet visible above, and beauty, glory, feel. Is this the one that we just seen? I don't think so. Was it the one? Sorry, brother. It's just from attention. Yes, 234. This one, okay, say, praise him, shout loud for joy. Watchmen of Zion, hear the story. Sin and death his kingdom shall destroy, all the earth shall sing of his glory. Praise him, ye angels, ye who behold him, robing his splendor, matchless, divine. Holy, holy is the Lord. Let the hills be joyful before him. You know, in the beginning, God commands. And I'm pretty happy to hear this news that one of our sisters is going to make that commandment to follow him. And my sermon has a little bit about that, about what it takes to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ. A couple months ago, me and my family took a trip to California, and I like gadgets. Did I say it right? Gadgets. I like technology. Even though I'm not good with it, but I like those little tiny things, like my watch that I'm wearing right now. I'm always playing with it. I can kill times trying to find out what else can do. But so me and my wife, I'm going to read this. Me and my wife went to a trip to California with the girls and trying to find our way to the Queen Mary ship. Oh my goodness, that was a nightmare. We were driving on the roads and never been so, we were never been in those roads. So we were driving in our trailblazer and following our GPS. GPS. You know, it's not the first time that it happens to me, but it always takes me to the wrong way. And roads that you know, you don't know where you are, so. You know, who is familiar with these GPSs, you know? What you do is the little box, you connect it to your car, you punch the direction that you want to go, and a sexy voice comes out of a woman. And it tells you, you know, where you need to go once you punch wherever you need to go. But that I really have to listen to her when I have my wife next to me? So here's the little box, and here's my wife that I trust her with everything, you know. If she says, you're going to do what she says, you go where she tells you to go. If she says turn left, you turn left. If she says turn left, but in your head you're thinking, I want to turn right. I don't know if that's the right thing to do. But what happened when the GPS is wrong? There's something I like about the GPS when it's wrong. And you know, I was sure the lady was wrong when she told me to turn left. She said to go left, and I didn't go left. I went right because I knew she was wrong. Then she responds, and I can make her voice, but she said, recalculating route. When it's safe to do so, make a U-turn. I knew she was wrong, so I unplug her, you know, I disconnect her. You know, okay, I had enough of you. That's the beauty of that little box, that you can disconnect her and put it on the side. But after a while, I realized that I need help. And it's hard to accept it, but they do get you out. So they're right. They might take you through some weird roads, but they get you out. So I connect her again. I plug her back in, and she say, I told you so, she say. You think I'm going to help you now? You reject me. You just find your way home by yourself. No, she didn't say that. She said, recalculating, when it's safe to do so, make a U-turn. That's what she said. So what do? Well, you follow those directions. GPS is it stands for Global Position System. I kind of searched a little bit about position because I didn't understand how much of a position, what it means. But it means, I wrote it down here, but it's about, position means like a stay or a place or I don't know. There was all kinds of information about what position means or stands for, but also GPS, I can say that stands for God's position system. So that's my point today. We're going to talk about God's position system. It's a GPS. If we listen to this GPS, like I said, he will guide us. I don't know if it's he or she, but she will guide us out of whatever situation we are, whatever weird route we are, if we listen. It's the same as with our Lord and Savior. He will guide us in the right path if we listen. Coming to church will help us to walk in the right path. And we're going to read in 5. And it says, and it came to pass that the voice of the Lord speak unto my father by night, and command him that in the morning he should take a journey to the wilderness. And it came to pass that as my father arose in the morning and went forth to the tent door, to his great astonishment, he beheld upon the ground a round ball, a curious workmanship, and it was a fine brass. And between the ball were the two spindles, and one pointed the way whether we should go into the wilderness. You know, it says that if you had enough faith, and if the Spirit of God was with you, these spindles will work, and they only work if you have faith. It is the same for us today. As we walk in this world, and sometimes we feel lost because the things that they surround you, you know, what is our our GPS. Where is our this ball that this brother Nephi is talking about here? It is the same today for us. There is a blessing that we have our scriptures. These are our GPS right here. This is our guiding us to eternal life. That's where we are walking to. It's a journey that we have, a long journey in front of us. And so by coming to church and gather together as we gather today, we speak a different language compared to the language that you hear outside of this building. And we understand each other. You know, one time I was coming to preach, and my wife was, we were at her house, my in-law house, and I wasn't there. And my mother-in-law asked my wife, "Where is Jose?" And she said, "Well, she said, he's at the field." I was in Golden Valley. I went to Golden Valley that weekend. And she's like, "What do you mean? He's at the field. What is he doing at the field?" But, you know, she will not understand if she doesn't do her intent to go to church. But you know what field stands for us. We are preaching the gospel. So it is a blessing that we have this opportunity to hear the good news that God always has for us to guide us in our life. You know, it's times that as humans we misbehave and we don't listen. You know, you can either forget to read your scriptures, you know, to talk to Him, because we need to build up that relationship with Him. If we want to walk in the right path, we have to have a relationship, not just to know Him, but to talk to Him. And how we do that, you know, we do that by picking up our scriptures. But sometimes I understand we are too busy, our days go so fast, time is not enough. And because it has happened to me, you know, our sermons are not just for you, but for me too, and for whoever is up here. Because we're humans, and things happen to us. So, 1 Nephi 5, 190. "And it came to pass that after they had abandoned me," this is about when Nephi was persecuted by his brothers, the special bowl that they found, and I forgot the name of it, but I'm pretty sure I remember right now. The ahona, it won't work. Like I said, if you don't have no faith. As they were traveling through the ocean, these people, their brothers, they were doing things that they were not pleasing to God, and so that thing was not working because there was no spirit, there was no faith. And that's what happens today, that when we don't obey His commandments, our faith can, like a candlelight, it can go down if we're not careful. We have to keep that light fire up. Otherwise, we will get lost. We read in 190, "And it came to pass that after they had bound me in so much that I could not move, the compass which had been prepared of the Lord did cease." Stop. It didn't work. So they were all lost in the ocean. And we read a little bit about that in the first book of Nephi that explains how they got here to this land. So, but that was temporary. You know, that was just an example. Today we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who is guiding us, who says he is the way. We don't have a mysterious ball in front of us. We have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our hearts. He is our guiding us today. In Alma 17, chapter 17, 78. This morning, Brother Huber almost read my scriptures that I had. 17, 70, 78. And it says, we're going to read all the way to 80. And now, my son, I will that ye shall understand that these things are not without a shadow. For as our fathers were slothful to give heed to this compass, now these things were temporary. It was temporary. They did not prosper. Even so it was with things which are spiritual. For behold, it is easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point to you in a straight course to the eternal blessed. As it was for our fathers to give heed to this compass, which will point unto them a straight course to the promised land. And now I say, is there not a type of this thing? For just as surely as this director did bring our fathers by following this course to the promised land, show the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a far better land of promise. And that is our promise for us. If we follow, we listen to these words, if we listen to the time that we have, they are here for 1 hour, at least 1 hour, and keep those words in our hearts, this is what it is. Show the words of Christ will lead us to his kingdom. I think that's pretty cool. If we decided to come to Jesus and inherit eternal life, we must come to him. Our sister is getting ready to make that commandment this weekend coming. And it's a big commandment. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to be mocked by the finger of the world? Are you ready to carry his cross every day? 35:4-42, it says, yea, verily I say unto you, if ye will come unto me, you shall have eternal life. And John 6:47, verily, verily I say unto you, he that believe in me has the everlasting life. What a wonderful words we hear. And those words give us a strength to continue. And even if we go through like this painful time that our sisters in Missouri and Springfield are going through right now, That should increase our faith in knowing that we have a better place waiting for us. That's the whole thing. That's the whole deal. You know, this is going to stay behind. We are just walking through. This is not forever. So we must believe in Christ's words. You know, he told Philip, I am the way. I am the way. There's no other way. We have to believe that, or we will be condemned, as it says in Mark 16:16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. There's a guy in my work. He's always trying to tempt me for what he knows. So he asked me the other day, so you believe that Christ came to the Americans. I'm like, yes, I believe that he came to the American continental. And he's like, okay, so how is the we that we all got here? You know, he asked me that question. And I'm like, well, that's a pretty good question, but what do you think? He's like, well, you know, just like Adam and Eve, he made them down there. He said the same thing he did over here. He put an Adam and Eve and all the earth, you know, in different parts of the earth. And that's how we, you know, we were multiplied. And that's not what that's not what the scripture says. We all know that. I'm like, I gotta go, you know, because he's always trying to make me to confuse me. He's not well spoken, but he knows a lot. But I see a spirit, a contention in him, and those are the things that we need to be careful, because you can slip. And you start to believe those certainly people that you are surrounded by. So we have to be careful when we deal with those kind of people, because we know for sure our beliefs and the truth is in these books. We have to stand fast. You know, in First John 4:2. Let's read that real quick. 1 John 4:2-3. It says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh is not of God. And that is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it shall come, and even now already is in the world." And when I hear this guy, because he doesn't believe in Jesus, he only believes in Jehovah or Jehovah. But he doesn't understand that it's the same personage. It's the same person. It's the same God. It's one God. So when I hear him, I think about this scripture. We have to believe. We have to believe that Christ is and he will be. That he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2, it says, of the doctrine of baptism and of the laying of the hands and of the resurrection and of the death and of the eternal judgment. This is the perfect gospel, the perfect doctrine, the things that we believe. Do you believe in all those? Do you believe in the laying hands? Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? Do you believe in the eternal judgment? I believe we do. We do believe that. And we need to be strong on that. Because there's a lot of antichrists up there, even now, they're trying to lead us in the wrong way. And we need to be careful here. We're going to read in 2 Nephi real quick, chapter 14. Actually, there's no 32 here. So I think it's 4. I believe it's 4. Well, it happened to me again. I say chapter 4. Let's see. Hold on. It's 11, I'm sorry. It says, for if ye will hearken to the Spirit which teach a man to pray, you will know that you must pray. For the evil spirit teach not a man to pray, but teach him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you that you must pray always and not faint, that you must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place that you should pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. So we need to come to him and pray to him before you do anything. And we have to acknowledge him in all our ways. Like I said, we need to trust in the Lord and in his promises. And 1 Nephi 5:36, it says, and thus we see that by small means the Lord can bring about great things. And Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, for before he was crucified for 3 years, before he started his ministry, for 3 years he teach his disciples not to be not to have doubts. He teach them. We need to stand in the right foundation these days. We need to stand on the rock. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 24, 27. Therefore, whosoever heard these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat up on the house, and it fell not, for it was found upon a rock. And everyone that hear these sayings of mine, and does them not, shall be like unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. If we stand in the foundation of Christ, we will not fail. Even if the winds blow, even if, like this guy that might work, trying to knock me down, trying to lead me on the wrong path, and you know, I will not fail because I know the truth. And this is what Christ means right here in these teachings. We need to be in the right foundation. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ speak to us in parables a lot. To those people in those days. And at this parable, he was referring to the need that we have to have if you want to follow him, if you want to be his disciple. And it's not easy, like I said. Even today, if one will come to Christ in order to partake of his promises of the salvation, we must be ready to establish our lives upon the foundation of his teachings. Just like it says in Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heard these things, saying of mine, and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man. And First Peter chapter 2:4-6, it says that Christ is the rock. If you do not understand, I never understand who is the rock. What's the rock? You know, Christ is the rock. He is the foundation. of our beliefs. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus say to Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." I don't think he say, "Upon you, Peter, upon you I will build my church." He say, "Upon this rock." And by the way, I believe that Peter in, means a little pebble, little rock. So there's no way that he was referring to Peter. He was referring to him. Upon this rock. And 35:12, 35:12-20. It says, for if a church be called in Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. If it be called in the name of a man, then it be the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it's my church. And if it so be that they are built upon my gospel. Let's read 21. Verily I say unto you, that ye are built upon my gospel. Therefore, you should call whatsoever things you do, call it in my name. And therefore, if you call upon the Father for the church, it will be in my name, and the Father will hear you. So there, it clarifies that in Matthew 16, it refers that this church, if it's him, it should be in his name. What a comfort we have that we are in the church of Christ, not in the church of Jose or church of whoever else. Let's not be like Phillips, you know, and John, doubting. Show us the way. I am the only way. I've been with you guys all this time, and you haven't noticed. You know, that was a privilege to walk, eat with Christ in those days. And even that, they were having a hard time at the end. Me and my wife built a house in Mexico. And before we did that, we sit down and do some math, see if we can finish it, not just build halfway and I be able to finish it. That is our life. When you make that commitment into Christ, when you walk into the waters of baptism, it is like building a house. You have to during to the end, not just halfway. Once you do that, there's no way back. So let's make sure that that's what you want to do. Because he says it's better for you not to know me. We have to finish our way, our path. We have to finish, make it to the end. And only with Christ will do that. Luke 14. Chapter 14, 28 to 30. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitting not down first and contain the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after they had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock you. You don't want that. We don't want that. We don't want that. If you call yourself a Christian, you have to show for it. You know, our behavior says a lot. The way you behave, the way you speak, it shows that you are not like them, that you're not of the world, that we are different. We are Christ followers. And if you make the commandment and you don't finish the finish line, you will be mocked. You will be mocked. Luke 14:30 says, saying, this man began to build and it was not able to finish it. All eyes will be on you, brothers and sisters. So, at the end, we have to follow Jesus. That means that we will do what he says. I know we will go through hard times, but God will guide you out. And we will do the best we can. We will do his will. We will give him our life, our time, obedience, honor him, and give him all honor and glory, because he deserves that, and endure to the end, not just halfway. We're going to build a house, we're going to have to finish it. 3 Nephi 12:18. It says, have they not read the scriptures which say, you must take upon the name of Christ, which is my name, for by this name shall ye be called in the last day. And whose take upon his name and endure to the end, the same shall be saved after the last day. He's full of grace. Even if halfway there you don't finish building the house, if you fail, he is full of grace, full of love. As long as you come, like Brother Huber said, with a broken heart and contrite spirit, he will forgive you many times. And there's a lot of our brothers, they have got baptized and they're walking in the world right now. Many of them. They have accepted Christ in their life, and now we don't know where they are. We have to endure. We have to be strong. We have to finish. As soon as we're ready to listen, as soon as we're ready to surrender, God will say, here's the way home. We have to, just like the GPS, in the beginning, we have to make a U-turn. That is repentance. Make a U-turn. I will bring you home. That's grace. Jesus is the only way. The only one will give us the wisdom that we need to live. He is the only one who has the power to forgiveness for your sins and mine. He is the only one to give you life after death. There is no other way. He is the only way, John says in 4:16. He's the only way to give you life. Sometimes we don't know which way to turn. But if we read God's directions, these books, he will guide us in the right way. Acknowledge him. We have to acknowledge him. And he shall direct us in the right paths. That means that if we make the wrong turn, but if we trust in God, he will get us back in the right path. One thing I know about the GPS system, it says there is global position system, so it's global. So we have work to do. We have a task. When it means it's global, it's for the whole world, not just for us. It's free for those who want to come to Him. And we can see that there are ministers there are all over the place, all over the world, preaching His gospel. It is global. That is a huge task, but with His help, we're going to accomplish it. We have to know, we have to let everyone know about the Word of God. And that is our task. Make a U-turn. This is my task for tonight. I hope and pray that you guys understand my point. And I pray that this message was a blessing for you tonight. Thank you so much, brothers.
We're going to go ahead and close our service tonight. If you would turn to song number 275.